I asked a quartermaster on the deck to take me down to the officer of the day, and in the wardroom I found one of the subs. He was soon joined by the other sub, the engineer, the gunner, the snotty, and the surgeon probationer. The first lieutenant was at Whale Island on a special gunnery course, and the captain was ashore. I was given the use of Number One's cabin until he returned, and it was arranged that I should have the double cabin with the dock when the snotty had gone. The flotilla had come in for a stunt that morning and would not be leaving the harbour for a day or two. A concert had been arranged for that evening, and about 8 o'clock we all went across to one of the largest huts where it was to be held. It was then that I first saw our Captain D, which is the naval term for describing the officer in overall charge of a flotilla. Captain Beric Curtis had a short, reddish beard, as unconventional manner and a liking for a dangerous job. The mob, as he called his flotilla, would have cheerfully followed him through the Kiel Canal if he had expressed a wish to go there, and such was the feeling amongst the Matelots that parties of seamen had been known to raise a cheer as he passed along the quayside. And this in an unemotional age. Tonight, he pushed his way quietly in and sat down in the front row. But he was recognised at once, and a ripple of sound, suspiciously like a cheer, came from the seats behind. Wherever 1,000 or so sailors are gathered together, there is almost sure to be some talent in the concert line, be it real or imaginary. On this occasion, we had all the usual items, including the inevitable soulful rendering of Come to Me, Thora, by a sentimental Matelot with a lock of fair hair hanging over an eyebrow. Towards the end, some of the officers in the front row shouted for a song from Captain D, and the feeling of the house being vociferously unanimous on this point, he jumped on the platform and started a ditty about a ship with a cheery refrain consisting entirely of the words, "She's sure to bust her boilers." This much-applauded effort was followed by the King, and with that, the second concert of the 20th Flotilla came to an end. In the hum of conversation that arose after the concert was over, our topic seemed to be causing some amusement. It was the recent speech of the First Lord of the Admiralty. His exuberant reference to the flotilla had evidently been variously translated, but the general opinion appeared to be that it sounded more dignified in the original tongue. So for some weeks to come, the corps d'élite of the Navy was known to its constituent parts as the Corps d'Élite.